Welcome to the Tailored Life Podcast. This is the fitness and nutrition podcast that goes way beyond just training and nutrition and helps you create a life by design. I'm your host, Cody McBroom, and today with me I have Coach Ariel DeAmpert. We're going to talk about the non-training and nutrition stuff that's going to help the training and nutrition stuff. So this is going to be actually fun fact for you guys listening. I just told this to Ariel yesterday, and I don't know if that was the first time I told you or the second time, but within the top two, it might have been the number one, but we'll one of the one. Most downloads, we'll go with one, the most downloaded episode of the podcast was the Psychology of Fat Loss podcast, which says two things. One, actually says three things is what it says. Number one, and take this the way, you know, because I don't want to be like, you're a nobody. And then, you know, but I've had some pretty dope guests on the podcast. Like some, and when I say dope, I mean like they're really cool, interesting people that have like a big audience, right? You had more downloads than them, right? That's pretty crazy, right? Number two is the topic is that important. And it like trickled in downloads as time went on because people started sharing it because it was like maybe even the people that maybe listened and they didn't know who you were yet or didn't really understand the topic, but they just listened to all my podcasts. They shared that a lot because they're like, holy shit, this is crazy important, right? And then the third thing is just the raving fans we have at Tailored Coaching Method, but also the raving fans you have on your roster, your clients. And what we're going to talk about today is some of the reasons why you have the raving fans you do as your clients within Tailored Coaching Method, you know? So if you don't know who Ariel is, go to Tailored Coaching Method, click team, go listen to the last podcast. All that stuff will be linked in the description so you can find out that stuff because I want to dive right into the topic. How do you want to approach this to start? Do you want to kind of give a summary of maybe like why this is important and then we can kind of pick it apart?
Well, it's funny. I recently just did a poll on my Instagram and I said, if you're struggling with fat loss, what do you think the reason is? Do you think it's metabolic adaptation? Because, you know, that word's thrown around a lot. Do you think it's because, you know, it's age and like hormones? Are you not sure why? Are you putting effort forward and you're following a plan and it's just you're not seeing the results you expect? Or are you eating like an asshole and you know it? And I think it was like 85% are like, I'm eating like an asshole and I know it. And of course, I say it like jokingly, but in today's world, there is so much. We talked about it the other day where people are like, it's almost like I don't even know who to trust. And like, should I follow keto? Should I do this diet? Should I track? Should I not track? Should I do intuitive? You know what? I'm like, any of them. We know that. We know that any of them are going to work. But I think the reason there were so many downloads is because underneath it all, we know that's not the reason. We know that's not the reason why. And so as much as we can give you all the scientific evidence, which we will, and it is helpful, right? I will give you, like anyone listening, I will give you the perfect plan. I will give you the perfect plan for your hormones, for your gut, for your health. You will have glowing skin, beautiful digestion, so much energy, six-pack abs. I mean, jack shit if you can't follow it. Like,
well, and I think,
words on a paper.
You know, it's cool too. I have the people coming out tomorrow for the seminar. Today's more business focused. Tomorrow is basically advanced strategies, quote unquote, for fat loss and nutrition and stuff. And I have some case studies that I go through at the end. And I intentionally picked two people. One was a quote unquote chronic dieter. Already lean. Perfect person that you would think, oh, definitely metabolically adapted. You know what I mean? And then the other one is had weight to lose. Her goal was to lose 40 pounds. And I use those examples because it wasn't those things, right? Like the 40-pound one was like, tried it all, not seeing results. What do? I adjusted her diet once, and it's been 8 months. So 30, it's been 30, what is that, 31 weeks, I think it is, because I did it for my presentation. And she's down just over 30 pounds. So it's literally like a pound a week, 8 months straight, one adjustment, because it had nothing to do with the macros. It was like, even when it had something to do with the macros, it was what the coaching conversation was that led her to stick to the macros, right? It wasn't the macro tweak. It was the life tweak that got the macros to work, if that makes sense.
That is so important because when people are coming to a coach and having that accountability, right? They're like, oh, I want the accountability. Yes, that definitely plays in. You are going to have someone that you're showing up for, but it's the nuance in the coaching. It's the reframing we give them. It's the tools. Even if we go into discipline and like this idea of like willpower, like I said this last time, but like, I really don't have any more discipline than your average person. And the idea that discipline is a muscle is somewhat misconstrued. Because when it comes to discipline, right, people will say, I'm really disciplined in this area of my life. I'm really disciplined in this area of my life. I'm really disciplined in this area of my life. Why can't I figure out food? And it's like, because it's not transferable like that. Mm-hmm. Like if discipline was a muscle, we were talking about this yesterday because I was deadlifting I have long legs and it's like awkward deadlifting, but I want to be able to deadlift just for being able to like know that I can pick up 135 pounds off the ground if I need to. We were talking, it's a great functional movement, right? Okay, guess what? I'm relatively strong. I have muscle. I didn't need to like study a deadlift or what, like it transferred. I can pick up a barbell. I can pick up my daughter. I can pick up like a bag of whatever. I have a husband here. I really don't pick up things like that. But anyways, what if I needed to? It's a muscle. It's transferable. We know that. Why do people lift weight and train? Because they want to be able to pick up their kids. That is transferable. That's a muscle. Discipline, if it was a muscle like that, it would be across the board. And it's not. Why? Because it's not. Actually, this is something that has really been studied and back and forth on. And I know you've talked about it on the podcast, this like willpower thing. Because people are like, willpower is not a thing. Well, it's depleted. Well, it's ego depletion. Well, it's finite. Well, it's like all of these kind of things that are going back and forth. And the thing about willpower, that's that caveat too, it's like, well, if you believe you have willpower, okay, so can we just like, let's throw willpower off the table. Let's throw white knuckling off the table. Let's talk about discipline, right? So there's a discipline equation that I like to use. And I like walk through it with, you know, my girls and our clients to help them create a framework for it. Because when we're looking at having the discipline to follow through on something, a lot of that is going to be contingent on how easy is it? Mm. Yes, you're disciplined at going to the gym. You take two steps and you're in a gym.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes, you're disciplined to have a gym. You pay for a membership. Yes, you're disciplined to have a gym. You sign up for a class. Okay, so how easy is it? How fun is it? I can tell you I am not as disciplined in the things that I do not enjoy, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so how fun is it? And you can make things more fun. You can, the way that you're looking at it, like there was a time when I first started tracking macros and I was like, it's like, it was kind of a lot of work and I got overwhelmed and I was like, So I decided to make it fun. So I started taking all of my favorite foods and my foodie husband, Dennis, we were like, make macro-friendly versions of it. And I remember making macro-friendly Reese's and I was like, oh my gosh, this is the life hack. Look at, I'm making Taco Bell macro-friendly and I had fun with it. So I enjoyed it. I'm in a different season now, but like that was a way I made it fun. I made it easy, right? And then what you're really doing is you're limiting the limbic friction between the two when it's talking about like that discipline.
Define that.
Limbic friction is just like the resistance. So it's basically like when you wake up right in the morning, in our brain, we have less limbic friction. Mm. So that's why it's easier to do things in the morning.
Got it.
You know, to follow through. It's just the resistance your brain's going to fight up and put up.
Is that, does that accumulate as you make more decisions throughout the day?
Yeah, they're just more friction. The friction, that resistance between because of fatigue, exhaustion, decisions, different things like that. So setting the timing up, coming up with those systems, and then how easy can I make it for myself to follow through? How hard can I make it for myself to sabotage, right? So we talk about this in simplicity form, like the environment. So when we're, take discipline on top. If I made it really hard, meaning I don't have the food in my house. If I made it really easy by having meal prep ready to go. If I made it really enjoyable by finding seasonings and flavor and macro-friendly versions. If I made it simple, i.e. like I had dumbbells in my basement downstairs and I did a Zoom call with some of my girlfriends and we did an online workout class. That's discipline. Mm. That's following through.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times people beat themselves up. They're like, oh, I just can't do it. And I was like, or you could just make it easier. Like,
yeah, so I like to gamify stuff. Mm-hmm. And I totally think it's a personality thing. Cause like, this is like the hard head in me is like, it's not supposed to be fun. I'm not going to make it fun for certain tasks.
Yeah.
Right. And so to me, it's more about like scoring and points. And I create weird systems to make me feel like I'm checking boxes, dopamine, mm-hmm. right. And like winning and I tally up things or like we talked about yesterday is like, what's like the praise at the end. Like my dog knows if when he wakes up, if I let him out and he goes pee and he comes right back in, I'll give him a little biscuit, right? He knows that. So now it's like a trained thing. And then he knows to go to his bed before he eats. So it's like pees in bed, sits, looks at me, biscuit. Like it's trained. So I think of, I look for patterns like that in my life and I gamify it and so on and so forth. My follow-up question with that, just because I'm trying to relate it to the fun thing, do you think that there is a, I guess like just your thoughts on the idea of this being transferable from like person to person, this idea, because you mentioned like what I do with my girls, quote unquote, and for people listening, Ariel does, she just works with women, right? But there's been times where I'm literally like, hey, I got a guy, he's going through this, give me your best like practice, worksheet, whatever you think. You send it to me, tell him this, I do it, it works. What's the difference here? I do it in his language because this guy has been around men his whole life. And he might, as he's listening to this, he'll probably know who he is. And I love him to death. Journaling's not like, it's not what I do. I don't meditate. Like I'm a guy, you know what I mean? And I'm like, okay, like I have to talk to this guy in a different way. And I'm like, hey bro, Joe Rogan, Jocko, David Goggins, I'm pretty sure they all own a journal. Like, let's just be real here. And I just call them out with it in a different, so there's differences, right? And I think that relatability is the big key here. So just trying to like basically attach this to, it doesn't matter what type of person you are. The strategy is going to work. It's just about, and this is why trainers and stuff, you should be fit. You should do the thing. You should be the part, like, because they will respect you and they will listen and so on and so forth.
I think, okay, definitely when it comes to guys and girls, what's the difference? Really not. I mean, not much, to be honest. Like, I will always bounce ideas off of Dennis. And I look at his, like, behaviors, or even when we have, like, team meetups, I'll, like, talk to all of the guys on our team and stuff like that. A lot of it is very similar. We all have a little bit of nuance in our personality. We do. And like as humans, we are drawn towards challenge. Mm. And in today's society, everything is very comfortable for the most part. And think about it. People pay hundreds of dollars to run a race in the mud, throw sticks. Like think about that. We have to pay. Someone thought life is so easy. Let's go build this open area where there's a bunch of heavy things that people will pick up and put back down because that's a challenge. And that's fun. We all like challenge. We all like challenge. And I think your desire to challenge, it's fun. It's gamifying it as well. But it's the new, like everyone has challenge and it's going to look different. Stay at home mom, CEO of a business. You have your own challenge. We like embedding that because we like feeling successful, right? Like we like feeling like we're doing well. Like we talked about that satisfaction.
I love that Ed Milet quote. He said, winning is more fun than fun is fun. Yeah. And he was like kind of joking, but then he thought about it. He's like, it really is. Like there's nothing as humans that we want more than to quote unquote win. Now win is defined in however way you want it. But I mean, I was actually talking about somebody brought this up with the Spartan races, basically the same thing you're talking about. And my response, because we were going back and forth joking around about it. And I'm like, think of the first person that invented bull riding. Mm-hmm. Like they tie a rope around the bull's nuts to piss them off. And they put him in a little cage. And then they go, all right, whoever can sit on this thing the longest.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, that those are the manliest men I've ever, like that is, or the most idiotic. It's just crazy. Yeah. But humans love challenge. And more than that, they love doing a challenge with a tribe. Because if you look at all those things, there's people involved, there's a community, there's environment. So it's like you already touched on environment, now you're touching on the challenge. It's when you put those two together, I think it makes it so much more powerful. You know, even if your environment is small, like they say, like a tight circle and all, that's totally fine too. It can be you and one other person, but sharing that challenge and the feeling you get when you accomplish that challenge is so valuable.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it. And the other thing you were talking about is like having it applied to different people. That is the art of coaching, right? Like I definitely talk to all of my clients differently and how they are going to receive that. And that is part of like the craft and communication and understanding. This is something else that's really important when we're talking about the psychology of fat loss, the psychology of getting to your goal. You have to define your goal.
Yeah.
You have to have that clarity there and know like my end goal, like, and I was like, I think a very common one is my end goal is to get into a body that I love, that I feel like is fit and athletic. I have energy. I can track if I want to. I'm not dependent on it. It's a tool and a resource. Mm-hmm. I work out and I energize my body, but it's not in compromising any of my values or time. And getting to that point, that is very doable. And you can get there. It's having clarity in that and then understanding, leaning into having a coach when you're having that. Because I know like if you tracking is a tool, and it's super important that everyone goes through a phase of really learning what nutrition is, and they're having that. And then as you start to walk away from tracking, if that is your desire to be able to just be able to navigate, if you want it, you can use it. It's freedom. It's a choice. If you want to start walking away and things don't go so well, you're going to get anxious. You're going to feel very like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing this right. I have to go back checking. And then you have this like dependency on it. And when you have a coach or someone there to guide you and it's like, okay, let's like reframe how we're looking at this and move forward. I think the biggest thing is like when people make that like shift away, they just like kind of go to another extreme. And a lot of the thing about it is like MyFitnessPal is a teaching tool and it's helping you. It's not the determining factor of what you put in your mouth. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if it's not there, it's like, how much can I get away with? That's that game you don't win. You don't win, how much can I get away with? You never win that game. And so if you're like, okay, I've tracked, I'm getting my goal, I want to just maintain where I'm at and I want to like walk away from some like tracking and not be as diligent with it, you have to lean into that self-trust. You also have to have the right mindset and you have to have like tools and boundaries and frameworks. So like it can be as simple as like, I'm going to plan before my first bite of food. That is so important. To plan before your first bite of food doesn't mean I'm going to go into MyFitnessPal and like track everything. It could be like, I'm at this party with friends. I'm looking at the apps. There's really nothing but chips. I'm going to skip that. I'll do one plate of food. Oh, it's a birthday party. There's cake. I'm going to split one piece with my daughter. I decide before my first bite, because once you start eating, if you're like, I'm going to do, you know, like it depends. Now you got dopamine, serotonin, you're having a good time. You have FOMO. Your brain is leaning into that. And so it's like little things like that. Plan for my first bite. I don't eat out of the bag. I plate my food. I, you know, am intentional with snacks. I make sure I have protein at every meal. It's like I'm either tracking or I'm not. Like we got to get rid of the all or nothing. That doesn't win.
Let me ask you this, because I agree. I don't think it's a guy versus gal thing. My mm-hmm. personal client roster, the people I do still work with today, it's very 50-50. Mm-hmm. And I have a, let's say, tough love kind of approach to coaching. Yeah. A very empathetic tough love. But like I'll go do a guest call with just your clients and I act the same way and yeah, they love it.
They do it.
A whole members thing with everybody. It's the same thing, right? So, and I say that to say, cause like even on the last podcast, I had a lot of guys reach out to me cause that clicked with them. The last one we did on this topic.
Yeah.
It's teaching the topic itself, defining the terms, understanding these things we're talking about, these traits, these skills, the characteristics, discipline, willpower, self-control, these things. It's universal. I do think there's that personality. But more than that, it's almost like learning how to, to your point, the art of coaching, learning how to instill the belief in the person. Because again, we talked about this yesterday.
Mm, that jumps
on. I don't know if we were on air or not when we were talking about it, but just the idea that, you know, with imposter syndrome and all those things, until you have proof, yeah, you're going to have some doubt because you've never done it before.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But like, if you need a coach to give you the proof because they have the context of somebody else just like you who did it, they did it themselves, whatever it is, or like giving you the facts as to why you can accomplish this. But I approach it in this way. When you were talking, I was thinking of, I will tell somebody, oh, do you think you're incapable of this? Like, and you can do it in either way. If it's the fat loss goal, like, mm-hmm. Are you saying you can't do it? You think you're incapable of doing this. Logically, they know they're not. They use some kind of excuse to say they can't because they want to be able to avoid the hard thing, right? And then on the flip side, when you say you can do without macros, they feel attached to it. They're like, shit, how am I going to do this intuitively and stuff? It's the same game. You're incapable. Do they own you? And I don't frame it that hard on people. But to me, that's the type of challenge as well. If you can connect with somebody and teach them and get them to understand like, no, I'm going to conquer this wall, this barrier, because I am capable, and you instill that and you get them to accept the challenge of like, no, I can do this. Oh yeah, that is tedious. I will do that. Oh, it's going to take 2 hours a week of meal prep. I'm capable of doing it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to accept the challenge. I'm going to be a better person for it. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because we, on the whiteboard yesterday, you were breaking a lot of this down.
Yeah.
Kind of masterminding some coaching stuff. But like, this process of explaining what it takes and then also getting people to see the logic behind it, meaning let's remove the emotional negative Nancy story. What do you call your daughters? What's the name? Gretchen.
Gretchen.
Let's remove Gretchen from your mind.
All my girls know about Gretchen.
I was thinking of like, okay, what's mine going to be named? That's like your the little devil on your shoulder and the angel on your shoulder. The devil is Gretchen for their family. But like we're talking about, sorry if anybody listens, name is Gretchen. So point being is like you have that side of you that creates the negative stories that tries to fill you with doubt, tell you you can't. Like you have to be willing to attack that one. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I got you. I'm really glad we're going here because I think there's a lot of ways that you can approach this. And I think there is merit to doing hard things. Mm-hmm. I think every single person listening, do something hard. Actually, I don't know if you've heard of this. So, you know, there's like IQ and then there's EQ.
Yep.
Do you know there's AQ?
Uh-uh.
So AQ is something new and they're finding this is the biggest determinant of someone's success, even more than EQ. Adversity. Mm. Have you done hard shit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, totally see that. Like, and so there's actually a thing in there. Like it's a whole process. And so fulfillment, we cannot like have happiness without sadness. We would not know light without dark. Mm-hmm. Like it's in those really hard moments that we get that joy. Like if you talk to any human and you're like, what are some of the most beautiful memories you have? Like what are, they're always going to be a triumphant story. It's always going to be like, I went through all of this adversity and you know, I came up on top. Maybe it's a prep. It's, you know, moms, we made it through labor, like whatever it is. There's so many beautiful stories. Now, I think when it comes to food, yeah, we can tell, you want to like meal prep, and like spend 2 hours doing it. I don't have the grit. Yeah. But like, sometimes there's bigger shit in life. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of times my girls will like probably the number one comment I get is like, just in general from people like you keep it 100, mm-hmm. like you give it to me straight, no chaser. And I will. And I'm like, some girls will be like, okay, I'm just nibbling a lot. Like clients will be like, I'm like nibbling on food. And I'm like, this is what, like, do you like nibbling on food? Well, like, do you like, we could just work it into your plan. Like this doesn't need to be that hard.
Yeah.
That is the thing. Like we love the discipline. We love the grit, but like food doesn't need to be that.
Yeah.
It can, but like I work, I got Gretchen. I got my baby girl. Mm-hmm. I got Dennis. I have a house. I have family. I have like, you know, obviously like hosting the other podcast, life things. Like, no, I don't want to spend 2 hours using a food scale. I got so many other challenges. I want to run a race. I want to lift heavy weights. We can choose. And if you're like, yeah, I want to be disciplined and I want to do this. And it's like, it's just, it's hard. Like sometimes tangibly too. Like I had, and this is, it's so funny. I sent a video because I was talking about like meal prep and one of my clients was like, oh my God, it took me like 2 hours to meal prep. And I was like, don't do that. Yeah. I was like, we don't got time for that shit. I'm swearing so much. But I'm like
30 minutes.
I know. I was like 15 minutes. Like I was like, buy the pre-cut, buy the thing. Like that's just it. When we're talking about the psychology of fat loss and we talked about belief, if you do not, and if we're looking at a thing, because everyone listening wants to be healthier. Mm-hmm. Everyone listening wants to be fit. Everyone listening wants to have energy, vibrancy, health, longevity. We all want it. And so now you're just sitting and you're listening. And you're debating, is it worth it?
Yeah.
You're looking at the link and you're like, maybe I'll set up a call. Maybe I'll sign up for coaching. And you sit there and you're like, I don't know if it's going to be worth it. And you hear Cody or someone else be like, well, it's 2 hours of meal prep and you're going to develop grit and you're going to do this and it's going to be great. And I'm like, yeah. But then here's also your reminder, like, it don't need to be that hard. It really doesn't need to be that hard.
You know what, too? Like, I need to be so much better than this. I never put a time frame on when I'm talking about the hard things you got to do mm-hmm. for the, like at the end of the day, anything great you want, if you want an easy life, you got to do hard things first, right? Yeah. Hard things lead to an easy life. Easy things always lead to a harder life. Right.
Yeah.
But I never actually put time frames on it. Cause like I do meal prep every single week. I set up, it takes me literally no time. And I should be honest, it takes Shannon even less time cause she does a lot of it for me. She helps cause she knows she's better at cooking.
And that's important. That's an important factor that like, we talked about this yesterday, the other side of the apple and having realistic expectations. Sorry. Okay. So I got to go on this one real quick. When you're on Instagram, when you're on social media, it's marketing. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you're looking. And you're looking at someone who's like sharing a transformation, who's saying like home workouts. If every picture is only them and no other people, Look at the background.
Bingo.
Yeah. Like someone was telling me, someone's like, I'm following this girl's workout program and it's at home. And like, she sent me her picture and what she wanted to look like. And I was like, home check, that's not going to happen. And she's like, oh, but she works out at home. And I was like, she used to compete in bodybuilding before she worked out at home.
She doesn't have to do anything to maintain.
No. And like, if you're going to, this is a big one too. Like if you're going, oh, let me intuitive eating or like food freedom or whatever that is. And the influencers you follow all came from like, they used to compete or they used to be like fitness models.
I know how to eat intuitively.
Your intuition changes.
Yeah.
Your intuition, for example, your intuition pre-Blakely is different than your intuition post-Blakely. Yeah. Events in life alter our intuition because our intuition is just our instinct. Your instinct is based on your environment, your situations, your life, your adversity, your AQ. Dennis grew up in Detroit in like essentially not so nice of an area. His intuition is to lock everything 18 times over, put it in, double check that. He's like, I grew up in kind of a suburb of Chicago, big yard. And like, I literally will leave like everything open. Yeah. I literally leave like my laptop, my headphones and like my car unlocked. And he's like, and then he won't say anything to me, but he'll come back. He'll put it in the trunk, lock it, and like click it more times. So that just goes back to like, intuition is based on that.
Experience, this is what I've often said, experiences and education lead to knowledge that changes that intuition. Mm-hmm. Right? And so those people have different, and I was laughing when you were saying that, just because it's so, like many things, it's so me and Shannon, I'll like come in, I'm like, your car was unlocked and your purse was in the front seat.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's in the garage and the garage door is shut.
That's
and we
so
live in a
funny.
Great neighborhood.
Stop.
I'm like,
yes.
Somebody could hack the garage code. I don't know. Like, we don't trust people. Come on.
Yeah.
But
that is so important.
So I think that this is semi-related to the whole idea of discipline and what we're talking about now. But even just like you mentioned the idea of, I'm thinking of clicking on the sign up. I'm not. Like, I don't know. And I want to share this. It's the same. I read that Google review from my client to you yesterday. I think I read that to you.
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
You did.
And it was super powerful. But one of the things he told me when we jumped on a call recently, because his wife's working with us now. And so I was like, hey, let's jump on a call. Like, I want to learn more about your wife. Make sure I figure out the best fit for her, so on and so forth. And I ended up taking her on and working with her so I could just kind of help the whole family, right? And they're great people. And what he said to me on the call, he was like, man, I'll never forget what made me sign up. He was like, I listened, and this is no shade thrown at Huberman. Huberman's great at what he does. He does something different than us. He's like, I listened to an episode of Huberman with Andy Galpin on muscle. And it was like a 4-part series. I was just so confused the whole time. They were talking over my head. Granted, it's not really for that kind of person, right? And I was like, well, hey, man, like you, and this is what he doesn't do for a living, but he can build a car from scratch, hot rods, all stuff. I'm like, okay, so if you were talking about that stuff to me, it would go right over my head, right? It's the same exact thing. So he said, he was like, I then listened to a podcast that you put out because my daughter shared it with me, I think it was. His daughter's in college, shared it with him. And he was like, you broke down the exact same thing in like 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I signed up immediately because I realized I was searching for information. I wasn't fully comprehending the information. I was trying to find the answers in all these different places. Now I just go to the source. I don't research anything anymore because I just ask you, you tell me, and now there's no confusion.
Yes.
I know that you did the work first. So it's like, there's a part that's like, if you're just chasing your tail, trying to get results, like it's like the running on a treadmill, right? You're going nowhere, but you're running really fast. There's a time where you're wasting potential discipline, willpower, self-control. You're limiting your own self-belief, creating more self-doubt, all these things, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're looking at all these different resources. You're finding intuitive eaters who really didn't start that way. You're finding macro trackers who make these elaborate meals that you're like, I don't
recipes.
Have time for that. Like
recipes.
27 ingredients. How am I supposed to track that? Right. So you're doing all these things. And what you need is you need a system and you need accountability. You need somebody that's going to go, hey, just do this. Forget the rest. Don't worry about it. And it's got to be proven. Like you said, if the coach doesn't have proof, like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why there's influencers and people that are way bigger than me or the team or anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we work with more people. We change more lives. The company's bigger than theirs. It's not about your followers. You know what I mean? It's about the product, the service, the coaching.
Yeah.
So much more.
I think that's it. Like, there's a bunch of little nuggets in there. I think I always say this. I was like, I do not do frustration. I'm going to give it to you straight. Right? Mm. Same thing. Like, I do not do frustration. And so I will, like, that is, I think, the worst thing. People, staying stuck is a choice. Mm. Like, you're always making a choice. And doing the same thing, getting the same results, spinning your, you're either, every decision you make is either building self-trust and belief or self-doubt. Like, it's not either way, because let's say you're like, okay, I'm going to figure this out on my own. And actually one of my newer clients, she was like, hummus? Is that like, she goes, I was only eating because it was healthy. I don't think I really like it that much. And I was like, girl, we don't need the hummus. You know what I mean? And it's like wasting that time, not being where you're investing so much of your energy and resources into that. And you feel like, I'm just kind of like spinning circles. But to have it broken down and be like, these are the needle movers, to take the, because we essentially take the Huberman and then spit it out and regurgitate it. And that is like a coaching. And then there's two things, taking the Huberman and regurgitating it in a way that is streamlined and simple, so that when people are looking at whether it's each client's or each coach's page or the TCM page, yeah, here's this client who lost 100 pounds. Here's this client who has six-pack abs. Here's this client who is in their 20s. Here's this client who's in their 70s.
Oh, by the way, the coaches do it too.
Yeah. And it's just that frustration, that discouragement, yeah, that builds that self-doubt. And then you create this saga about how hard it's going to be. Because another thing is, let's say you decide to, okay, I'm going to get a coach. I'm going to really invest in this. I think it is worth it. And then you kind of maybe get started a little bit. If you have this, there's an equation to essentially, we're like writing out, right? To decide if it's like the energy you're going to put and your commitment to it, right? If it's worth it. Because I think your commitment is directly correlated to like, if you think something is worth it, right? If you think that going to your job and getting a paycheck is worth it, you go. That's what commitment is. If you think you're going to end up on top, if you, our human brain, that's how it works. It wants us to win.
Yeah.
And so if you think, like, it's not, I just hate when women and people and men and everyone in between are like, I just got to figure it out. Or I just got to like get myself together. Like, I'm not going to dwell on it. I learned my lesson. And I will always say, I talk to people, but what lesson did you actually learn?
Yeah.
And I will like, and we'll dig, and that's where coaching digs. Okay, what lesson did you learn? Well, I shouldn't nibble. Okay, so how are you gonna stop taking bites of your kids' food? Like, either we, like, and that's where it's like, it doesn't need to be that hard. We can plan it in. We can come up with a better alternative. If you think that you can exercise like some discipline with it and a little bit of willpower, maybe, but like, that's my last chance. And that's what you're saying to yourself.
Yeah.
You're saying, I overate. I went out with dinner. This happens literally all the time.
It's the conversation the coaches are afraid to have. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I can't tell you how many times, like, even that, like, oh, do you want to be a nibbler? Do you want to be a nibbler? And it's like, well, no, of course not. Okay, so let's just change it, because you don't have to. You're choosing to be.
Yeah.
So, like,
but we can just
reframe that. Yeah. And if you want to, we'll fit it in.
Yeah.
It's literally like, but you fit that in, you adjust over here.
Yes.
You take it away, you have more over here. Whatever it is, like,
at coaching, simple. We like take out the morality. That's what people, as long as you're stuck in shame and guilt and judgment, you don't move.
Yeah.
I'm getting loud. I can feel myself getting heated. I was like, it's like you have to get rid of that layer.
Yeah.
You have to get rid of that layer of like the shame and the guilt. And also this like saga that it's going to be so hard. Like I know what I need to do. Do you?
Yeah.
Do you know what you need to do? Like, I'm not saying like, and it's not in like a negative kind of tone. I'm saying like, what you think you need to do, I'm telling you, like all the results I've gotten is honestly probably not it. You're making it harder.
Yeah,
you have a more dramatic story.
Less than.
Yes. Most of the time it is less. Like, I know I need to, like one of my clients who came in and she's like, okay, I would love to lose around like 15 pounds, but she travels, she spends time in Florida, goes back and forth. And she's like, I know I'm going to have to like really get it together on the weekends. And I don't know if that's worth it because I enjoy my family time. And I'm like, I can give you boundaries and we can like make it work and you can still eat out on the weekend and you don't even need to track on the week. Like, we can, cause I know her knowledge base, like, right? Like, we, as a coach, we understand that. And that's part of the craft and coaching for a while, coaching a lot of women. I was like, I promise you. I was like, trust me. And so we went in, she's down 15 pounds. She was like, she didn't even, this is a big one too. Like, she was even a lot, this happens very commonly where people like won't put a goal weight of what they actually want. And it's, I think with this like whole like health at every size or like, I love my body. There's some of that that's like, oh, it's okay. And I'm like, no, that's not what you're setting. And I will call you out. Like, that is not what you're setting goal weight. You're not setting goal weight because you don't believe you can do it. Because you spent all this time listening to who, that, and the other, spinning your wheels, not following through. What's your goal? Tell me your goal. Okay, I think I'd like to maybe be 135. Look, we got here.
Yeah.
So like, get rid of the drama story. We don't need it.
It's crazy that there's this false narrative that you can't have those kind of goals because that's like a bad thing. You know, I did that podcast. I don't remember if I titled it this, but I said it a bunch of times. Self-love is self-delusion. And it's not that literally self-love. It's that self-love has become a delusion in a lot of people's mind. It's this idea that self-love is not needing to change. No, self-love is improving yourself constantly because you deserve better, right? Yeah. Even if you're in a great spot, you deserve more. You deserve better. Like, God wants you to have a great life, great things, great body, great money, great sex, great marriage, great everything.
Yeah.
Like, go get it. Yeah. You're the one, you know what I mean? So like,
yeah.
But two things I think that are really, really important that I've like kind of pulled out of here that I think are like the big keys to a lot of the coaching stuff that we're talking about in general. There's an old ancient, not a proverb. What is it called when, it's like a saying, like old, it's not a quote. We'll call it a proverb. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay. And I want to say it's, from Peru. Doesn't matter. It's South America somewhere. And they say, beyond this mountain is more mountains. And the way they say it is way cooler in their language, but basically that's what it translates to. And the idea is like, and I talked to a client about this the other day, cause it was like, there's always something. So it's like, well, once this, you know, once I get through this point, it'll be easier. Like, oh, all this stuff will be way better once I get through this point. Or I got this thing coming up. And after I get through that, it's like, I'm like, hey, just so you know, there's always a thing after this thing. And I learned that the hard way with entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. Like I remember and this is part of the reason why, I mean, we were talking about this yesterday, like TCM wouldn't be a thing if it wasn't for Shannon, because there's so much behind the scenes that people don't see that is because of her. Even just a support factor. But I remember talking to her about this and she said this exact thing to me. She just looked at me. She was like, Cody, you are never going to have a perfect week. You're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Like that's what it is. Because I was basically, long story short, I was kind of bitching about like this came up and then like I had my schedule laid out perfectly and then this got in the way or this happened or this, you know, there's always something. It's like once you can just accept that there's always something, then you go, okay, I'm not going to get, to your point, frustrated about it. Because what does frustration serve us?
Yeah.
It doesn't serve us at all. It just stops us and prevents us from moving through the frustration. Yeah. I would much rather just, and that's part of like, somebody said something to me the other day that I think is a perfect example of this. He sent me a picture of the bathroom. My wife did, a family friend, and he's just like, your wife's a badass. And I said, I know. She also makes me look like a pansy, I think I said, because I don't do building and stuff like that. And he's a builder. Like that's what he does. And I was joking. And his response was, not at all, man. Your energy is served better elsewhere and you direct it that way.
Yeah.
And he's not like, shout out to Brock. He's not one that has ever gotten philosophical with me, but I was like, wow, man, like that's a really, thank you.
Yeah.
I was joking, but thank you. Like that's what this is, right? So like if you're a parent or in the case I was talking about that client that left the Google review, he's a CEO and a parent of multiple kids, has a wife, all these things. Why are you directing your energy and attention and frustration towards information about fitness and nutrition that you don't understand, can't comprehend fully? Like, don't do that. Let me do it. And then your energy goes elsewhere. So not only do you get better as a human because you're doing the hard things and you're becoming a more successful individual, but you also have way more energy and focus and capacity mentally to put towards the things that actually matter in your life. And you need to do that. And then this thing that matters that you know nothing about, let me take it off your plate.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
I'm okay. So I want to go back. I feel like I need a standing desk for this podcast because I get so worked up.
Yeah.
Can I tell you how many things I've broken out? I can't keep anything on my desk. Like during like check-ins or coaching calls on day, I'm like, ah! And it's like, it's just like, we're not going to go there. But a lot of people stop because I think this has been made clear to a lot of people is that they know that happiness or satisfaction or whatever isn't found in a body. And I think a lot of people have pursued fat loss in the past and they've gotten somewhere and they're like, but I want more. It's not enough. And so this talk of like, when is enough enough, as well as knowing that'll stop people from pursuing their goal. So what happens is you're looking, this is what we're all doing in our head, right? You're looking at a goal, you're deciding if it's worth it. And you're like, okay, what am I going to get out of it? That's literally it. Like, and everyone take the morality out of things. Like, it's not that you're going to look at things. And I hope for your own life, you make decisions that will help make you more fulfilled, happy, successful, and that will add to your life. That would make sense. So you're going to look at a decision and you're going to say, should I pursue this fat loss thing? Should I move forward? Because I think the take home of everything we're talking about is like, you have to believe in yourself and you have to know that it's worth it. If you believe and you know that it's worth it, or borrow belief from a coach, like if you believe and you know that it's worth it, the commitment will be there and you will then be successful. Like it's it. Like I guarantee you, anyone who starts, as long as you don't zap, you'll get there. Right. Okay. So when you're deciding if it's worth it, AKA your commitment, AKA you're going to be successful and follow through, you're going to think, okay, what do I get out of it? Well, you know, I want to be more confident. I want to feel good. But last time I lost weight, I got to my goal weight and I just wanted more. And like, it's not worth it. Like, why is that trade-off worth it in your mind? Because you're like, okay, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. It's not going to be enough. And then I might as well just stay where I'm at and like keep doing what I'm doing. Because like change is uncomfortable and hard and I don't want to give up the treats or whatever it is. That's because we don't understand what satisfaction is. That's we don't understand what the fulfillment is. Like you talked about, like there's always going to be another mountain. It is part of course, the process and the journey and the joy. But you know that feeling when you did make it to your goal. But I'm like smiling, getting emotional, thinking about like all of my clients that like they stuck with it. They stuck with it. They did the hard thing. Nothing feels better than like I showed up for myself. I loved myself. I cared. One of my clients recently got we sent her flowers. She recently got a diagnosis of cancer, and we started together over a year ago, and she's down 55 pounds, and we talked, and we had a call, and I was like, I thank God every day that you decided to show up, and because she's, her thing with me when she signed up, she goes, Arielle, I'm done starting over. She's like, I'm not going to start over anymore. She's like, I want to get to my goal, and I want to maintain it, which we could talk about the whole psychology of maintenance in podcast three, but she was like, I want to get to my goal. And she goes, I did it. That was her exact thing. She's like, I did it before. And I didn't know if I was like any like happier push. And she goes, but I know I need this and I'm going to show up. And she went through a lot of hardship throughout our journey. And we got on the call and she was like, you can never predict what's going to happen. And she's like, this literally like could have saved my life. Like she had an open incision surgery. Can you imagine having that with 55 more pounds on you?
Yeah.
Like that's crazy. And I think about every milestone we had along the way, not only with her, but all of my other clients, and the joy and the fulfillment and the confidence that they gained and the woman they showed up as, the man you showed up as, the traits you learned. And I want to let you know, it's not that it's not quote unquote enough. The reason you want to keep going is because you've fallen in love with making yourself proud. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing that any person can do, especially if you're playing this dumbass saga of I'm not there yet, I have so far to go, break your glass ceiling. Break your glass ceiling of what you think is achievable for you, okay? So once you do that, you don't have a glass ceiling, I want you to just focus on celebrating the milestones. There's always milestones. There's always milestones along the way. Like even when you get to your goal, then it's like, ooh, maybe I'll like do a building phase. Maybe I'll like learn a little bit more about this. That is probably the coolest part about physique. This needs to happen in tandem, because if you don't have this, if you don't think that it's worth it, if you don't have that commitment, you're not going to stick with it. You're going to quit. You're not going to sign up for coaching. You're not going to invest in yourself. You're not going to do it. And so do it and understand the expectation. You are going to get to your goal and you're going to think, I want to keep going. And it's not because you're not good enough. And it's not because you need to be ripped. And it's not that. It's because you've fallen in love with making yourself proud. And the high of getting to a goal after a challenging time, nothing feels fucking better than that.
Yeah.
And nothing feels better than that. And so when we get to that point with our clients where they're like, I'm at my ideal physique, I feel really good, we have a conversation about, okay, what are your values? How much time are you spending? Do you want to continue to like work on this? Like, and what we do is we find other challenges. It's like, hey, maybe I want to try race. Maybe I want to walk in a fashion show. Maybe one of my girls told me she started a podcast. And like one of the other girls like started a new like creative business. One girl said, like, that's the thing. It's you fall in love with making yourself proud and going through the challenge. Yeah. And then we look at that and some girls will be like, can I try getting a little bit leaner? Girl, let's try it. Like the worst case scenario, you try and do it. But please don't believe the fallacy that it's not worth pursuing because you're not going to quote unquote be enough or it's not going to be satisfying or it's not going to make you happy. that process in itself will. And it, does it end? No, but that's the best part. I think that's the best part, that you get there and you want more, because that is what trains you to be like that person. The first time, I mean, at one point I was almost 200 pounds, right? And so going down that and learning and feeling, making myself proud is like, ooh, yeah, I want to step on stage. And I'll give this last.
And you're 100 and
what?
Where are you at now?
Like 130.
Just for context, because people will say like, because you compete at like what, 110?
10?
Yeah. Just because people will be like, oh, okay, 200, like big deal. Like, it all depends on, are you male? Are you female? How, are
yeah,
you
yeah,
5 foot two, 6 foot? Like,
yeah.
I just wanted to put
yeah,
that
yeah, yeah. And kind of
that's
like,
a big weight loss, you know?
Yeah, it is. And it was, what happened was, and I want to give this because this, we talked about being enough and being an entrepreneur, like do that whole thing. So like, I was just under 200 pounds and I started this weight loss journey. Are you kidding me? Ever thought I was going to compete? No. I was wearing like plus size in high school. Like, no, absolutely not. But I fell in love with making myself proud. And then I did step on stage. I ended up competing for a decade. And I did 16 shows during that time. And I learned so much. And I went through different phases and continued to make myself proud. And this last season, 2023, I did 3 shows and I did national level shows. And it was amazing. And I was talking to Cody yesterday and I was like, you know what? It's really, really hard because I love it so much. But realistically, I'm closing the door on competitive bodybuilding for me. And I want to share that because, again, that notion of like, it's not enough, or you always got to go more, like whatever it is. I am closing that chapter because at this point in time, just as everyone listening, is it worth it? Is it, and you're going through that. I had my experience. I had my triumphant moment. I showed myself how proud I am. I don't feel like it was like there's nothing left to prove kind of thing. And it's not that I'm not going to still keep building my body, but on a competitive level, I'm okay being like, that was a beautiful season. I'm so proud of that version of Arielle. She made me today. She added to my AQ of my adversity. It brought Dennis and I's marriage closer together. I became a better mom for Gabby. I showed myself how resilient I am. Like, whenever I go through hard times now, I'm not even gonna lie, I close my eyes and I was like, home chick, you did 2 hours of stairs on like 50 grams of carbs. Like, you could do hard things. And it's just a great reminder. And I have that evidence. I have that self-belief that was cultivated there. And now, because I look at it and I'm like, you know what? I don't need to, like, if the average person listening, I don't necessarily need to get, quote unquote, leaner, right? Like, I don't need to like do that anymore because I've built up the confidence. And so now I'm looking at like other adventures. I'm looking at other things. I'm like investing my time. And it's because I did pursue it. And because I did build the confidence. And because I did show up for myself. And I know that no matter what I want to achieve in life, I can. And this is the beautiful spot that I think everyone wants like get to, is like pure freedom is knowing you can or you can't. And it's up to you and your values. You don't make decisions, because it's much different when I say it's like, I am like, whether it's competing, business, whatever, I fully believe I could have a business if I wanted to. I fully believe I could turn pro if I want to. It is not because of self-doubt. It is because of my values and what I prioritize. I love TCM. I love this company so much. And like, I don't like, it's not because I can't, because people have told me, they're like, oh, Ariel, you know, you could do your own thing. And I'm like, I don't want to. Why would I want to? Because I value you, Cody. I value our team. I value our community, our connection, everything that it is. I don't want that. You could turn pro if you kept going. I know. And I don't want that. And I think there's so much freedom because I know that men and women are listening. And it's like, I want the healthier body. I want the six pack, but I can't get it. Don't play that narrative. Get it. And then decide from a place of freedom if I want to keep it or not.
Yeah. Make me tear up now. I think, you know, we talked a little bit about this privately yesterday too. And I think it's similar to the reason why I do what I do for the team, you know, today, because I could make more money doing it by myself, but I get so much more fulfillment from finding out what success looks like in your guys' lives and what you're achieving because of what TCM is, mm-hmm. you know? So me pouring more into TCM to cultivate success in the people I care about, like, gosh, there's literally nothing that it's the same reason why, like, and this might even sound like I'm a workaholic, but it's like, me and Grant were talking about this the other day. Like, honestly, if I'm not with my girls, like, I'd rather work.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much more to it than a paycheck to me. Like that's, and I think that's where, you know, a big thing to me. So I'd love to hear, like, we're going to wrap this up, and I would love to hear, like, your biggest take home from the conversation for people, and I'll share mine right now. When you're chasing a goal and you're trying to find clarity, and, you know, I've said the six-pack abs won't make you love yourself more, but the journey to six-pack abs might, right? And that's the same thing, right? As even the, beyond this mountain, there's more mountains. Okay, well, think about it like this. Is that next mountain bigger or smaller? I don't know, but you just accomplished this one. It might be the same size, so you're going to be able to handle it. It might be smaller, so it might be easy. It might be bigger, but you're more well-equipped because you went over this mountain. Like, adversity. Like, put yourself through those things. And it's the same thing with kids. Like, if you look at something hard in your life right now and you're struggling to do it, and then you think about when, like, I think about when my daughter, I took her to her swim lessons for the first time, and she was so afraid of the water, and I'm just like, in my mind, I'm like, it's not deep. There's a person there. Like, you're safe. I'm here. I'm in the water too with you. Like, I'm the dad jumping in because I just wanted to make sure she felt comfortable and everything. Like, you have nothing to be afraid of. Like, and there's so many things I can think of with my daughter that it's like, it's so simple. Just do it. Just try the food. You've never had it. You might love it. Like, when you think of those things, it's the same thing as you. That person, my daughter's five. When she first started swimming, you know, 3 or 4 years old or whatever, that's like, I remember when she was in her little, what were those seats you suction cup to the floor and they would sit in them and they have like a seatbelt, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And I went to grab something real quick and then my, her Nana, my mother-in-law's cat came crawling around and my daughter started freaking out. She seatbelted in and it was kind of funny. Like in my mind, I'm thinking like, oh, it's just a cat. You're fine. It's a really nice cat. And then I thought about, I'm like, damn, like imagine being stuck, seatbelted in. You can't get it out because you don't know how to do a buckle and there's a lion coming towards you.
Yeah.
Because it, relative size, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, just like minimize the focus or even zoom out and just kind of like, just look at it contextually. It's probably easier than you think. And then once you do it once, it's going to be 10 times easier, you know? Mm-hmm. But I'm ranting now. Big takeaway. You got to create standards for yourself. I don't think you can have clarity. Like if you didn't have standards for yourself, for the life you want to live, for the woman you want to be, for the mother you want to be, for the wife you want to be, you wouldn't be able to have the clarity that you have on what you want to do inside of TCM, who you want to be as a coach. You wouldn't know what your physique goals are because you didn't have standards. So those values, it's the same thing, but you have to have those values and standards that you live by. My standards and values that I live by dictate what I do day to day. It also dictates what I redo because if I don't do something or I mess up on something, there's a part of me that is so, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but so guilty and so like ashamed that I didn't do the thing that I know I won't feel good about myself unless I go do the thing, right? Because I have a standard I live by. And some people close to me know the standards I live by, but they don't know them like I know them. I don't tell them every single day. Just remember, this is who I am and this is what I live by. Like, they're not there to call me out. You know, I'm there to call myself out. But it's because I created those standards that allows me to execute on the things day to day to move forward, you know, and make decisions.
Yeah. Those emotions that we get that is like, oh, this doesn't feel good. That is normal. That is a good thing. That's simply cognitive dissonance. It's like the same reason where, let's say you're going to meet a friend for coffee and then you're like, oh bro, I got to cancel. You should feel bad. You should feel bad. Like that makes sense. Right. And so sometimes people want to push past that and they're like, oh, I don't want to dwell. And I'm like, but this is where we get to make the change because your brain is like, Cody, you said you were going to do something and you didn't. And so I'm just like checking, hey, I'm sending you like a little red flag. Like, did you want to do it? Just like, if you did it, that's fine. Let's change it. But just a little red flag. You don't need to make it demoralizing, but please don't like ignore that. Like feel that cognitive dissonance. That is a term, a psychological, your brain, your body all working together.
And also like, don't do it because you think you should for this, the sake of somebody else. Like we talked about yesterday with like, people aren't chasing happiness because happiness is defined by different people differently.
Yeah.
So you're chasing a happiness that somebody else says is happiness. You're chasing the act of being happier, which is improvement. I heard Alex Ramosi talk about this in a way where he said, you know, I'm just brutally honest. If somebody asked me to help them move and I don't like them enough to help them move, they're not close enough for me to help them move, I just say, no, I don't feel like it. I'm not going to tell them like, oh no, I got something going on, busy on this stuff. Cause then you will feel that, not because you didn't help the person move, but because you lied. Mm-hmm. Right. So like, just be honest, be like, hey, like I got stuff I'd rather do. Sorry, man. Like I'm not going to help you this time, which sounds like you're being a dick, but people respect honesty. And also you will value the people around you more. And then you don't walk around with this lingering feeling of guilt or like dishonesty, which your subconscious feels those ways for a reason. It's called being a human.
Yeah. I also think there's merit in like 100%. Be honest. Hold it. Also know, like, what kind of human do you want to be? Mm-hmm. I'm never going to feel like helping someone move. But reciprocity, yeah, as well as, no, I want to be dependable.
Yeah.
And so, like, having Bingo. That. This is the thing, though.
That's a standard.
Everyone listening has standards. In case you're like, oh, I don't have standards. You have standards. Everyone has standards.
Just haven't committed to them.
They have them subconsciously. Even like me, like, or just any of us, even if you're a high performer, you're a CEO, whatever it is, you do have standards. What it is, it's like, for example, you might have a standard that I go to work. I have a standard that I make sure I pick up my kids from like school. I have a standard that I pay my bills. You have standards. Like you have standards. Like you have these things that if you didn't go to work and just show up, you know that that wouldn't feel good. You would have consequences where, like, that's all that it is. It's just having the framework. But when you are intentional and you have clarity and you ingrain those in your subconscious and you continue to practice and get the reps in and you tell yourself, this is who I want to be. So you create that cognitive dissonance for yourself, like create that for yourself, have that clarity, write it down. And then at that point, that's when you get to see the level ups and you see the, because a lot of times too, people will also not say that something is worth it because they've never experienced it. Like they don't know what it's like and how good it feels or whatever it is. It, like when we're articulating, explaining things, everything is contingent on your own personal experience. I can explain a food to you, but if you've never had it, you're not going to know and you're not going to have that experience with it. And so I think that's, you do have standards, take the time, get clarity on it. This is the other thing. Like be real. Like a lot of people will, I always ask, like, is your plan, like, do you have a doable plan? And people like to fantasize. There's a big difference between a real plan and a fantasy. We like to fantasize, like fantasy novels and movies are fantasies. And we'll go, okay, like, I'm going to go, I'm going to work out, I'm going to have a green smoothie, I'm going to journal, and I'm going to like eat this whole salad and I'm going to do a meal prep for two. Like you say it and it's going to sound good. It is going to feel good to you because that is a fantasy and fantasies feel good. And so like that's going to feel that. And then when I say, hey, let's make it more doable. You're gonna be like, well, that's not as fun. Like, okay, I know that, but we're getting away from instant gratification. Like planning that is a form of instant gratification. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm planning that. We're going to get away from the fantasy. We're going to make doable what is doable for you. And I think getting away from that all or nothing that we talked about, it's like, okay, here's my baseline. Those are your standards, right? And standards have tiers. So you have your baseline standard. At baseline, I will read to my daughter before bed. I will give my husband a kiss. I will at least get 10 minutes of movement in. I will eat protein throughout the day. Like those are like baseline, right? And then we take a step up and they're like ideal. Ideal is I also ask Gabby about how her school day was. I have a more in-depth conversation with that, like all these things. And then I have an optimal. Now, baseline, ideal, optimal. Also, be real with yourself. Honestly, I get optimal probably 10% of the time. Five, 10, maybe be generous. You know what I mean? And so like that is there. I will strive to be better, but know that standards should be a baseline, not a fantasy.
Yeah.
And so when people are setting those, I think people hesitate to set goals. They hesitate to sign up. They hesitate to move forward. They don't want to set standards because then they make that huge gap. They feel like a failure. Nothing. You want to quit? Do that. Set unrealistic, fantasize standards in like all of these things. Because, and we're talking psychology of fat loss. If we're talking fat loss, I promise if you don't quit, you'll get to your goal, right? So the psychology part of it is if you're frustrated, you're going to quit. If you feel like it's not worth it, you're going to quit, right? So make sure, I guess my take home is like, when you're looking at this, 99% of you listening, it's not as hard as you're making it out in your head. It's not as hard as you're making it out. You can make things work. You want to nibble? We'll nibble. You want to eat out? We'll eat out. There's a way to make it work. It doesn't need to be challenging. You can have other areas of your life that are challenging. I'm sorry. Being a mom, that's all the challenge I need. I'm going to make it the pre-chicken, made the veggies in the microwave and yogurt. Like Shannon and I were talking about, we're like, yogurt bowls for dinner, no cooking, chicken nuggets. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Like we're like, that's honesty. Like I have other challenges in other areas. I know that I can have this body and I want it. The other thing is do not hold yourself back from moving forward because of a fallacy that it's not going to be worth it or it's never going to be enough. I promise you it will. And when you live it and you experience the transformation, because it's all about transitions and steps, there is no finite. The other reason people quit all the time is because I have so long to go. I just have so much way to go. I'll come back to this later. I just have so far. Where are you going? Death?
Yeah.
Like, where are you going? Like, did you think that this, like, no, that's not it. And so, no, you're going to keep growing, but that's like the beautiful part. I hope my physique, I was telling Dennis, I was like sitting out there and I was like, bro, wait till I turn 40. I'm going to look so good. Like, I look this good now. Like, just wait till I turn 40. And I hope that I continue to, I know I will. There is no there yet. I'm just going to keep getting better in all areas.
Yeah. And everything you do today sets you up for tomorrow. Right. Mm-hmm. And it is, it really is like the idea of less is more is so true, but in the sense that more as meaning, right? Less is more meaningful. And I say that to say, like, even with standards, part of the reason people don't set standards too is because they think they got to have this like crazy long list of core values that they're going to put on a canvas and all that stuff. Like, we have one on our wall that has like 10 things, but they're not like die, like live or die by. They're
and
just
people
like,
think that though. Like, they're like, yeah. Hey, it's, I need to get in touch.
One is health. Okay. Yeah. That means a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Like, we appreciate our health. Like, we're going to prioritize that. That's all. Yeah. It's very simple. My standards, there's only three, you know, it's very, yeah. very, sorry, maybe four, but like, it's so simple, right? Mm-hmm. It's so simple. And for me, it's discipline, it's intention, it's grace. Like, it's things that I know I need to do constantly. Ownership, which they all kind of bleed into each other. Right. But if I have this long, exhaustive list, now everything becomes more difficult in my life. If I have this short list, it's actually way easier because every decision, that's my filter.
And we say that and simple. And a lot of people are like, I don't want to do that. Like, oh, that's not enough. Oh, the last thing. Okay.
It doesn't matter because if you're listening to this podcast, I know you want to.
Yeah. The whatever it takes mentality, mm-hmm. right? When people are like, okay, if you are listening to this and you're like, oh, this was it. Like this, look, I'm going to sign up. I'm going to get coaching. And then we hop on a call and you're like, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Two things. One, are you really willing to do whatever it takes? Because whatever it takes means stop with the fantasies. Let's scale it back. Give me doable, practice all or something, and do quote unquote less.
Yeah.
Like not less, do more than what you're doing now. We're going to do more than what you're doing now. But like,
why compromise values and standards and things in your life? Well, you don't have to.
Yeah, that's it. And then I don't like if anyone ever says like, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And I'm like, and this is why you're on the call. And this is why you are not at your goal yet, because you are willing to do whatever it takes. And being willing to do whatever it takes means that you are compromising your values, what is important to you, your quality of life. I don't want you to be willing to do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
I want you to live in alignment and be the best version of yourself. And I want you to say, Ariel, I want you to help me get healthier, more energy, feel good, confident. I want to have sex with the lights on. I want to put a bikini on and walk around the beach, take pictures with my toddler. Gabby and I have matching swimsuits, you know it. And so I want to do all of those things. And what's most important to me is my family. I eat dinner with my daughter. I have Sundays where we lay in bed and go to church. I work until, you know, 5 p.m. and I am not going to be able to work out before then. And those are kind of like my boundaries. This is my work, my family, my life, my values, my spirituality. Those are my constraints. Knowing all your Huberman fancy stuff, scientific stuff that all of us coaches know, this is what we do. We pull all of our science. We pull everyone's values, traits, what's important to them. We tell them, this is our game plan, right? And we meld the two together. This is doable. We'll have, and then obviously we coach along the way, and whether that's what they need to hear psychologically, mentally, emotionally, whatever it is, and the tweaks with the science. And I'm like, these are the needle movers. Mm-hmm. These are the ones. So this is your, and then we'll, this is your baseline. These are your baseline areas. If you have more energy, you're feeling more motivated, because we always feel those. We always have those moments. This is your ideal. And if you're like, I'm gonna kill it this week, because it's there are weeks that are, you're going to be able to be optimal. Like this week for me, I'm traveling. No, this was a baseline week. Yeah. But next week when I'm home and I'm more in my routine, I'm going to have an optimal week. And so we take all that together. And so it's not willing to do whatever it takes. And when you have that game plan and you have that support and you have that belief and you're not compromising your values, what's important to you, it becomes worth it. Once it's worth it, you're committed. And that's the psychology of fat loss.
That's it. I love it. All right, we're going to wrap here because we could like literally, and we will, next time you're out. So
yeah, I want to do part three on if people want to hear it, maintenance. Yeah, I want to do one because like that's a big, like what is sustainable? If I hear one more person say, I don't think this is sustainable. Yeah. You hear my butt, like I'm go off on that one.
And that's individual too. I mean,
yeah,
no, we will definitely do that. Okay. A few things wrapping up this podcast, guys. If any of this really, really hit home with you, obviously head over to TaylorCoachingMethod.com, hit the big yellow button on the front page, apply for coaching, get a free call, talk to us, let us show you how we can do this the right way for you. go ahead and give Arielle a follow. I'm going to put her link to her Instagram in the description of this podcast. And last but not least, if you enjoy the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating review and make sure you share this with a friend so others can benefit as well. Cause that's what we're here to do. We're here to help others impact their life. We do it all for free. Like, this is literally, you just got an hour of expert level psychology coaching for free. So pay it forward, pass it along, help somebody else, and we'll catch you next time.